Welcome to a very different episode of the Good Glow podcast. My name is Georgie Crawford. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know, I believe in life we all have a story to tell, and by sharing those stories, we can help and inspire each other on our journeys through life. This season of the Good Glow podcast is brought to you with thanks to Promise Gluten Free. When it comes to leading a healthy lifestyle, nutritious food is a key part of my every single day. The Promise Gluten Free range is high in fibre, low in fat, and absolutely delicious. You'll always find it in our press, and I especially love the sourdough rustic seed. Better bread, that's a promise, so make sure to check it out. Welcome to the Good Glow. I wanted to bring you something really different this week. So here it is. I'm not going to spend long introducing the podcast. I want to get straight into it because I think this is something we need to hear this week. So Eddie Pinheiro, he has been a friend of Jamie and I for the last couple of years. He's a motivational speaker. His videos have over 200 million streams. He has such a way with words that will leave you punching the air and believing in yourself so much. Before we get into Eddie, I just wanted to mention that if you want to come to the first ever Good Glow Summit, it's an online event, 2 hours, amazing speakers, amazing energy. We are going to come together and we have created something so special. If you want to be a part of the Good Glow Summit and get a free ticket, all you have to do is pre-order my book Glow on the Essence website, which you can do through the link in the episode show notes. So get your free ticket today. Tickets are limited. And this is going to be an incredible event. So to start our podcast today, I wanted to give you a little taster of what Eddie Pinheiro does. I played this video at one of our shows in the National Concert Hall, and there was silence as it played. People still come up to me and talk to me about this video. So we're going to start with this incredible, incredible piece of audio, and then we'll get straight into the interview. I hope you enjoy.
There's something incredible about the prospect of starting over. Not because you're unhappy with who you are, or because each step that brought you here wasn't perfect in its own unique way, but because somewhere deep down, we can feel the infinite. We know that when it comes to what's possible, we are a flicker of light in a galaxy of stars, waiting to take shape, find our way, to shine out across the very elements from which we came. See, beginning again simply means a new chapter. It means the next adventure. It's places you've never gone, people you've never met. It's stories untold and dreams still dancing around in your head. There's an old Dr. Seuss quote I remember as a kid. He said, "Sometimes you will never know the value of a moment until it becomes a memory." And turning the page on that chapter is, if nothing else, a temporary reminder that we are in the very moments we'll look back on and smile. Shines a spotlight on the people that mean the most and reassures us that the small stuff just might be the big stuff. After all, life doesn't dwell on the heartbreak or the times we fell, but the times we got back up. The times we looked with confidence at the road ahead and smiled at the horizon, as each fleeting moment is discovered for the very first time. So here's to breathing in that ocean breeze, laughing until your stomach hurts. Here's to dreaming like there are no rules and living like there's no tomorrow. To creating your masterpiece, one word, one note, one brushstroke at a time. To dancing when the music isn't playing and sharing your song when it is. Here's to seeing the beauty when most walk right by it. Being light in darkness and a voice in silence. Here's to living life on your terms. Paving your own path and writing your own story. The one where the hero doesn't stop until the princess is saved and the castle is taken. The one where reality is a reflection of imagination. Because if you do these things, when you look back years from now, you'll have a lot to say. But I promise you, I wish won't be one of them. Not because of what you were given, but because of what you chose to see.
Eddie, welcome to The Good Glow. Something a little bit different this week. We've known each other for a couple of years and I absolutely adore your content. So thank you for joining me today.
Oh, it's mutual and I'm so excited to connect and be hanging out.
Where in the world are you, Eddie?
I am in the United States. I'm in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, which is like about a half hour north of Miami.
So the weather's nice there at the moment.
That's one thing you can't complain about down here. Yeah, the weather is beautiful. Yeah.
Well, it's not quite as beautiful here in Ireland, but I definitely think that we have this sort of spring in our step this week. The evenings are getting brighter, the mornings are brighter, so definitely good times to come. Your world within, Eddie, it inspires me so much. I was planning for my show in the concert hall. I had your videos on repeat. They're just so incredible. And I'll link everything in the show notes so people can check them out. But tell us, like, what sort of people are attracted to your world within?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it's different people at different times. So like the point of what I try and do in my message is perspective shifts, right? It's interesting. Like, it doesn't matter if you are a podcaster, an athlete, a teacher, a mom, an entrepreneur, whatever it is. Like, we have a lot of the same trials and tribulations. The context just changes, you know? And so when I think of like the most important things I've done in my life, it was because, you know, I did like nothing grandiose, but like I heard something that made me look at life differently. And that's what it is. It's stories that help people say, you know what, like there's a solution in this room and I just need to find it. I need to rearrange things. I need to stack things. It's always amazed me, like the breadth of people that listen. Like I speak at schools, corporate events. Like, I just spoke to police officers, state police officers in Idaho not too long ago, just all over the place, because we deal in a lot of ways with the same exact stuff. You know, we just need the stories. We need the push. We need the perspective. We need to realize it's not a calculus project. It's just, you know, building some momentum.
Yeah, and I love that, because I think, you know, when I think about what I do, I like to think of it as like just planting seeds, you know, just planting new ideas with people. And I think that's because I spent so many years of my life not being curious and not looking further than, you know, what I did every day for inspiration. Like, I didn't think there was another way. So curiosity really can open up a whole new world.
Yeah. And isn't it amazing how, like, just simply not knowing, you can give yourself permission to do more. Like, it's that same sentiment for me. Like, and you know, I had a lot to be grateful for. It's not like I'm complaining about it, but I just never thought I could live life on my terms. It was like I was living not for the upside, but I was truly living not to mess up. It's like, what's the right thing, you know? And so you got to go to school to get good grades in high school so that you can go to a good college and do well in college so that you can get a good job in a good industry and get promoted. And everything was like, okay, this isn't wrong, right? This is okay. Like, this is what I'm supposed. And it took me into my mid-20s to be like, dude, what do you like? Like, what inspires you? Because you can start working towards that, right? In to your question on curiosity, like, that's what it's about. It's about that sort of exploration. And in a lot of ways, knowing what you don't know is more important than knowing what you want, because you can start pushing away all the things that, they're just bland and they're sort of routine and you're doing them just to do them. It makes you think like there's so much out there and I can go capture it. Once you understand that, like, fully, it's a freedom.
Yeah. And tell us about your before and after, because you were like a regular guy with a regular job and then everything changed. So what happened?
Yeah, well, I always knew I had this love for like the creative side of things. You know, I was always making music with my buddies or taking the camera out and, you know, just had a proclivity to do that type of stuff. But it always felt like kind of a side thing, right? It's like not what I'm supposed to do. College, I got a job. And by the way, like, a lot of value there, met some incredible people, learned some stuff, but it truly 100% was not me, you know? And so like, on weekends and after work, I'm writing music, playing acoustic shows around Boston. I'm blogging. I'm taking the camera out and making short films. And I'm just trying to like try things. And eventually got to the point where I'm like, I'm just going to spend a year doing this, you know? And it was like a different waves of creativity. Like, first it was playing acoustic shows. It was writing, producing music for other people. It was writing, a lot of creative writing. And I always joke, like, when you leave what you know, it's exciting and invigorating and fun. And it's like, here we go, world. And then reality sets in. And I'm like, okay, now I'm a 20-something-year-old man in his boxers without a job, right? That's when it gets scary quick. And so I had this, like, I don't even know what to call it. Like, this real sense of when I woke up in the morning, like, you need that stability. How nice, Eddie, would it be to know exactly how much is going into your account every week, even if you don't like what you're doing, right? There's something very nice about that. And so I wrote this speech. This is the first video for Your World Within on YouTube. It's called Ode to Excellence. And it was like my first like big project. I wanted it to feel like, I always say, an Apple commercial, like how they sell you an iPhone without showing you an iPhone. It's beautiful and they're dancing through the streets and you want to cry and you don't know why. And you're like, this is about a phone? Like, what? You know, but you're pulled emotively into the message. And so that was what I wanted to capture. And I wanted to write a letter to myself that's like, listen, try to put your back against the wall and trust that you won't let yourself fail. Because I'd never really done that. I've always kind of played safe and hedged my bets. And it was the first time I was like, you know, let it all go. And I did. I learned that that you adjust and you adapt along the way and you find answers. And that video, It was a blast to make. It was meaningful to me. And I started to get messages from people saying, you know, dude, this helped. Like, this, I'm in a spot similar to this, and this made me think about things differently. And you get that intersection of what you love and also what helps others. And I'm like, this is the spot. You know, like, I finally arrived. There's something here. Move into it. Move into that. And yeah, that was kind of the beginning of it all.
Wow, I just had such an aha moment there, because that is just so inspiring. Because I think writing a letter to yourself, you know, when you think about giving advice, like, we give all of our best advice away to people we love and our best friends, but we keep none of it for ourselves. So writing a letter to yourself is a way that you can do that. But I imagine that could be like really difficult for people.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, because there's the, like, it's very easy for any of us to tell our friends what they should do, because there's no emotion there. You know, there's so much emotion and, you know, bias invested into our own lives. And it's almost like when you separate what you want to do from what you're doing, you create this sort of separate person. It's easier to be like, you know, this is what you need. And that's what my videos really are. It's like self-coaching. It's me going through, you know, the trials and tribulations of life in talking about what I learned or what I think I need or how I'm going to approach things. And again, it just amazes me time and time again how similar our journeys are and how much we share in the pursuit of life and how scary it is to move into the unknown, whatever the unknown is for you, right? It's like, it's sometimes it's just sort of an arm around your shoulder saying, hey, this sucks right now, but it's supposed to. And like, that's all it takes to be like, yeah, you know, it's discomfort can be a green light. It can be inviting as well. It's an important thing to understand.
Why is it supposed to suck, do you think?
I think because the best things in life come with a price, you know? Like, so if you're living to mitigate risk, you can shut the door and you can stay in your room and live, or your house and live, you know, a very issue-free life to some extent, but then are you really living? Like, everything is a cost, life is trade-offs. And to explore the depths of you, to go out into the world and to make something of yourself, it's going to be uncomfortable. And I think it's a no-brainer. It's a price that we're all willing to pay, but we just need to understand that. We need to understand that it's a trade-off that's worth it.
Yeah. Oh, because you always look back and say, you know, that was a really tough time. Like, that was a really hard rock bottom moment. And then afterwards, there's always a but followed by something positive, because there is always like a silver lining.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite books, Unbroken, it talks about this is such a powerful thing. World War II. A U.S. prisoner of war, Zamperini is the guy's last name, and he's basically shot down, becomes a prisoner of war in the Japanese like internment camp system, and so he just goes through hell, and he's being tortured in all these camps. He's seeing his buddies die, and you know, at the end of the war, he's rescued, and they're sitting there like in this, I guess, tent or something, and someone's like, could you do that again? You know? And he's like, I'd rather die than go through that again. I couldn't, right? And to me, the reason that's so important is because it shows you the power of resilience in the human spirit. And like, you can go through these micro hells, stuff that like, when you look back, it's like, I can't even fathom, right? That's too big. That's too crazy. But in the moment, when you have your head down and you're just surviving, in his case, one more day, or, you know, our issues are certainly not prisoner of war-esque in a lot of cases, but like, you're taking one step, you're simply moving forward, you're making it to the next day. Like, as that accumulates, it's amazing to look back and be like, I endured all that, you know?
Yeah. I was chatting to someone on my podcast a couple of weeks ago who went through a really, really tough time mentally. And his message to people was just do one more day and then you can just do one more and one more. But it's literally like you said about baby steps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one of the beauty, like as a runner, and especially someone that enjoys running long distance, like I think that's part of it, like subconsciously, whether I know it or not, like the idea that you can't see a finish line, and in the middle of it, it does. It hurts and it's uncomfortable. And sometimes you even question why you're doing it. But it ultimately comes down to, yeah, just not stopping. Sometimes not stopping is a superpower.
So funny that you say that, because we are bringing 130 people over to the New York Half Marathon this year. And, you know, it's going to be this amazing event. We're so excited. But I haven't got to the point in my training where I thought I'd be. You know, I've just been so busy writing my book. So I was talking to my sister-in-law last week, and I said to her, you know, there's a chance like that I could come last. You know, I've arranged this event, and what happens if I'm the last person to cross the finish line? And she was saying, you know, there's actually kind of something amazing about that. And it really reminded me that it actually doesn't matter where you finish.
Yeah. It's you against you. It is. Like every stupid mistake that I've made, well, that's not true, but a lot of them, it's because I started looking externally, and it's like, oh, he did this and succeeded this way. I should. She did this And it was incredible. I should do that. And it's like you divert yourself. But when the race is against you and knowing, you know, you're competing against who you were yesterday, you're setting your own goals and you're meeting them and you're going to bed at night knowing, hey, I crushed A, B, and C because that's what I do. It's just this beautiful environment that you create, you know.
Oh my God, Eddie, that is so true. Because like we lie in bed at night and we compare ourselves to other people, whereas our attention should be on ourselves, you know? What progress have I made in my life?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, social media has done a lot of wonderful things for the world. But, you know, there's downsides. And the downside is, you're always looking at everyone. I mean, people don't put the bad parts of their lives up there, right? It's always, I did this, and hey, check this out, and I'm proud to announce X, Y, and Z. So it's easy to look around and just consistently feel inadequate. Where, you know, when I remind people sometimes, a lot of my close friends, when they're down, it's like, think about last year where you were, even 6 months ago, and how much you've overcome. Like, why do we have such an inability to pat ourselves on the back for getting through so much, right? And it's not to say, you know, it's not giving ourselves excuses or saying we shouldn't be better or push for more. No, that's the game and it's the journey and it's a blast. But if you never look and obtain that perspective and see that you're growing and you're becoming something, it's always going to be, you know, you're always chasing the carrot on the treadmill. You can't quite reach that contentment.
Just a quick pause to thank Promise Gluten Free for supporting the Good Glow this season. It's loved in households all over the country, including mine. And this week, one happy customer said, "Since changing to Promise Gluten Free, my energy levels are much better. I'm less sluggish and have a better lifestyle. I can eat decent food now with my family." If you are looking for some inspiration and delicious recipes, you can head over to their social media page for lots of ideas. You can find them at Promise Gluten Free. Better bread, that's a promise. Tell me about your TED Talk, Running in the Rain.
Yeah, so this is one of the most important breakthroughs I've ever had. So the idea of running in the rain is about doing the uncomfortable thing. But I think the point worth noting is slightly uncomfortable. Like the things that kind of suck that are incredibly easy to just be like, eh, nah. Like I'll do it later, you know? Because those things are ultimately what compile and aggregate and make you, you, right? And so the story started for me. It was in Boston, Massachusetts, where I lived about 5 years ago now, 6 years ago. And it was one of those mornings where I love running, like I said, and I'd just get up and I'd run before work. And it was a January morning, I believe, and it was like, wasn't quite snowing or raining. It was like this awful sleet coming down. And I'm just looking out and I'm going like, why would I put myself through this? You know, like I can, there's a gym at work. I can go work out. I can come back after work and I'm sure this will go away or, you know, clear up. And it truly is happenstance. Like it was not a courageous act in that moment. It was like, let's just go. Like, let's just go. And I don't know why. I grabbed a beanie and some gloves and a windbreaker and I just went. And, you know, as you can imagine, it was like shocking for the first couple minutes or so, but then your body warms up and you sort of acclimate. And I just remember getting back to the apartment and feeling so proud of myself because I realized in that moment how easy it would have been to say no. And I realized that so many other people, the vast, vast, vast majority of people would have said no. Not because it's that much more difficult, just because it's kind of uncomfortable. And so I dive into the value of saying yes to those decisions. And on the TED Talk, kind of go into the times in my life where I did and the value that it brought. You know, leaving Massachusetts, coming down here and sort of rebuilding, you know, was really energizing to me. And I attribute a lot of my growth to it. I didn't have to. You know, same thing with keynote speaking. I was terrified at first. Like, it was just not like not something I thought I'd ever see myself doing. And if I didn't say yes, I obviously wouldn't have. I wouldn't have grown into it. You know, and there's just all these different times where it's like saying yes in the face of that stuff. Same thing with the job. you know, that pivotal moment where it's like, money's drying up, my ego hurts, I don't know what I'm doing with my life, I'm not a kid anymore, I'd love to go back. That's the kind of, this is the easy thing to do, but I didn't. And I think when we look back, you know, we really value and appreciate those times we quote unquote ran in the rain. I think they make all the difference.
And when it comes to like your toolkit, so for me, it's, you know, a cold shower if I'm feeling a little bit anxious, or a walk in the forest if I'm feeling like I have low mood. What are your non-negotiables? Like, what is in your toolkit?
I see. Yeah. So for me, like the biggest thing is the morning. It's one of those things that's like as W. Clement Stone, a little hinge that swings a big door. For me, it's a tiny thing that means everything. When I can get up at 5:30 and the phone's not ringing, no one's up, there's no text, you know, it's just coffee, it's thinking, and then it's, you know, turning the lights on in my studio and writing. And when I do that, and it's 9 p.m. and I've already, you know, had my me time, been thoughtful, and also got like the most creative and most important writing done for the day, I feel like I'm flying. So like, to me, that's huge. I'm big into like some type of physical activity, and it's changing, it's always evolving. You know, right now, because I just beat my body into the ground running so much, I'm doing yoga and interval training instead, and kind of pausing the running a little bit for now. Sneaking one in once a week, but I know it's not good for me right now. But that type of activity is always like, it makes me, it completes me a little bit. And yeah, just sort of picking two or three things throughout the day that I know I need to accomplish, like big picture things, and making sure those are done, and the little things sort of fall around them.
So this is probably a random question, Eddie, but this is what I wanted to ask you. Like, what do you think people need to do more of?
I think self-auditing. Like, I'm a big thing, a big believer in alignment, in understanding, like, this is what I like to do, and so, or this is what's meaningful. And so these are the steps that I'm taking to get there. I just think there's so much doing just to do. And there's a variety of reasons for that. You know, it depends on the person. You know, whether it's just something they've always done, or they feel obligated, or whatever it is. I think taking time to ask yourself the tough questions. I had a realization not that long ago where it was like, I love books and podcasts, and that's great, that's fine, but like, I'm always consuming them to the point where, like, you know, I'm having dinner, there's a podcast on, I'm in the shower, I'm listening to something, and it's like, even when I'm taking my walks, it's like, well, this is, you know, what audiobook am I going to listen to? And it's like, at some point you have to shut it off so you can hear yourself think, right? Because that's like when you have your most important epiphanies, that's when you ask yourself the toughest questions. You know, ah, man, I don't really want to go to that thing Tuesday. Well, then why are you going, right? Like, what is, like, really assess how you're spending your time, and are you doing it in a way that's conducive to something that's meaningful? I think that simple conversation will really bring awareness to a lot of folks and how they're utilizing their precious days on this floating rock.
Yeah, it's so interesting because, like, I'm a real consumer. Like, I'm the same. I always have something on, and Jamie's like, you know, can you not just be? And it's certainly something that I'm really self-aware of, and I bring in, and I do embrace the silence. But, like, why do we avoid it?
Right. That's the question. It's like, it's, I don't know if it's something we need to practice or like what, but like, you can't lose that. Like, it's okay to be bored. It's okay, because like, it forces yourself to think, and there's nothing scarier than 8 billion people that have lost the ability to think critically, you know? So like, I'm a big, big proponent of like carving out that space for yourself. Mm. And it's funny because audiobooks, like, books are wisdom. Like, it's so great. So like, it almost feels like, what do you mean? Don't listen to that book on mindset or, you know, finance or whatever it is. But it's like, you know, too much of anything is not a good thing.
Yeah, it's so true. And I suppose with that in mind, like, what do you think the world needs more of?
Nuance. I think people need to understand that so much of life happens in the gray area. And I think, you know, our chimpanzee brains like to say there's this way or that way. There's my team or your team. There's a good way or a bad way. Instead of understanding that there's something right about every perspective if you dig deep enough. And people come from, you know, different places and have different worldviews. And it's just, life is very complex. And I think a lot of the time when we're getting into trouble in a lot of different areas is because we forget that. We forget about the nuance and think, you know, the world is a kid's book. And it's just, it's not. And so I think the ability to understand, to jump into dialogue, to not put up boundaries, but have conversation. A lot of things that, you know, I feel like are sort of slipping through the cracks now. And it's very easy too with social media. You know, you have platforms like Twitter where the whole point is to say something in very few words, right? There's no, so like it makes sense. You can't squeeze a lot of nuance into a tweet, but I think we need to understand that things are complex and are worthy of conversation and deep dives.
Yeah, I absolutely 100% agree. I think I'm going to listen back to this podcast like with a notepad and actually take notes, because it has been so insightful and such a reminder of so many things. So thank you so much, Eddie. Before you go, I was wondering if it would be okay to just ask you a few little quick fire questions.
Let's do it.
Okay, so what is your favorite book? I'm sure that's a very difficult question for you to answer.
Yeah, I have a few. Like I said, Unbroken is really good. I love Relentless by Tim Grover. He's Michael Jordan and Kobe's and Dwayne Wade's trainer. And just, it's a lot. It's like an intense book, but it's one of those pick-me-ups where, like, if you were saying, you know, earlier when you were asking about bad days, put that Audible on and take a walk, and you'll be like, okay, like, there's, I can dig a little deeper here. There's more in the tank, you know. Sometimes that message is good, yeah.
What is your favorite place, Eddie?
Favorite place? In terms of like to travel to, or
yeah,
like,
I'm just thinking this now. The way I've asked that, I'm like, it could be like your studio. It could be like just somewhere that makes you feel good. It doesn't even have to be a, you know, a city.
I think probably wherever I'm taking a morning walk, like there's something really nice about that. And sometimes it's not exactly morning, but every day I take a walk and, you know, just being outside and, you know, soaking in the world around me.
I love that. Are you good at gratitude and things like that?
Yes. I have a gratitude journal. And like, because like at first I was skeptical because like there's something a little cliche about like, you know, write down the things you're thankful for. But when you call attention to how much you have and how many things in your life are amazing, it puts the bad things right in their place, right? It's like, okay, this is comparatively, you know, this is something I can get through. So. Yeah,
I love that. And I know you have 900 favorite mantras, but give me your one that you're loving at the moment.
Nietzsche, favorite quote is, those who were seen dancing were thought to be insane by those who couldn't hear the music. I love that quote, right? Isn't that just beautiful? It's wow. Like, you're going to have to see things before they exist in life if you want to change or make things happen. So remember that. It's a powerful idea.
Oh, Eddie, thank you so much for your time. You are so inspiring. I love your work. It's just been incredible to speak to you. I'm so grateful.
Georgie, thank you and Jamie for having me on. I'm it's been a blast.
Thank you. And you have to come over to see us in Ireland someday. And we're going to finish up now by going in to one of my favorite videos of yours. It's called Battle Cry. Eddie, thank you so much.
This is it. Every step in the journey has taken you here. Triumph the defeat, the ups and the downs, the times you went through hell because you knew at some point, at some time, it would be the difference, and now is that time. Someday is knocking at the door. And people, they'll talk numbers. They'll speak in absolutes. They may even question your right to be here. Good. Here is when most falter. When the fearful run and the timid hide, but not you. In fact, it's from these very ashes of improbability you will raise your flag. From their doubt, you will build your empire. Yes, you will be tested, but you've proven you'll find a way, and you will feel pressure, but you know you're made to rise to the occasion. See, that feeling in your chest, that life coursing through your veins, it's your body coming to terms with what your brain already knows. You were put on this planet for right now. You sacrificed for now, fought for now, you bled for right now. This is no coin flip or testing of fate. It's a coming out party. One where the answer need not be constructed. See, you've already built it, brick by brick, day by day, night by night. It's not a time to rebuild. It's a time to be who you know you are. And if you can do that, if you can find the courage to do that, it will be more than enough. The most feared warrior knows that victory is not dependent on those looking at him across the battlefield. Their swords can't pierce what you've built. Their shields can't deflect the inevitable. This is your day. It's your time. The will that lives within you, it's the preparation, the self-belief, and the heart, it's why you will rise. It's why normal does not apply to you. Because normal was the stepping stone along the way. Normal was the discipline to show up. It was the commitment to trust in the process. Normal was every second you wanted to take the easy road and didn't. And from those moments, from the normalcy of the day-to-day, from the very heart of the unspectacular, the extraordinary is born. From this process, you have emerged. Chiseled from stone and prepared for anything this world will put in front of you, you'll find a way. Look, I'm not asking you to become something new. I'm reminding you who you know you already are.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Good Glow podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Please leave me a review if you did and subscribe to the podcast. Thank you so much to Eddie. And as I said in the intro, if you want to come to the Good Glow Summit, you can secure your free ticket by pre-ordering my book Glow. And there is a link in the episode show notes. See you next week.